You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Tom Michael. Black holes are, well, in a sense, black, hard to see, hard to detect in space, and astronomers are trying to get around this problem by watching stars that are nearby to black holes, especially binary stars, which are good for black hole viewing in a sense. And tonight at 8 o'clock, the Boise State University Physics Department is hosting a talk about black holes at the Education Building on campus. And afterward, you can look at the stars through telescopes at the Boise State Observatory. Well, Michigan State University professor Mark Peacock will be talking about black holes tonight, and he lives in Boise and studies these space oddities. He joins us now. Hello.
Hi.
Great to have you here. How long have you been studying black holes?
Oh, about 7 years now for Michigan State. After my PhD, there's a few more years on there.
So how did you get started? Was it due to your dissertation?
It was. So I've always been interested in space stuff, I think. Lots of children are interested in space and things, and maybe I just never grew out of that. Mm-hmm. So I went through, PhD with it and worked on some guys doing some very interesting things with black holes and trying to observe them. And then, I'm now doing that as research.
It's one of those mind benders, black hole. People think it's the lack of matter, antimatter, some sorts of things. How would you describe it to a layman?
So a black hole is essentially what happens when you put a lot of matter in one place, in one point. You keep compressing it down and down and down until it gets smaller and smaller. And eventually you reach a point where light can no longer escape from that object. So in the same way, if we want to escape from the surface of the Earth with a rocket, there's a speed you can hit where you'll eventually get off the surface of the Earth and escape from our gravity. If you were to make the Earth smaller and smaller and smaller, eventually that speed becomes so great that even light can't get away from it.
So Mark, you have to be kind of clever to study a black hole. What do astronomers do instead of, opening right to the page that says black hole? You have to kind of work yourself around it.
You do. So you obviously can't observe them directly. The clue's in the name that they're black, they're hard to see. So what we like to do is observe things orbiting them, essentially. So in the same way planets orbit stars, some black holes are in orbits with other stars. And that's one of the key ways we can find them and then study the properties of them.
I know that, through other research that binary stars are one way to look at them. What is that marker? Why a binary star?
So that's this idea that you need something around the black hole in order to see it itself. So in these binary stars, you can actually get the black hole close enough to the star that it is ripping gas off the surface of the star, and that then falls into the black hole. That allows you to see this emission. As the gas falls in, it gets very bright and emits X-ray radiation. And there's not many things in the universe that emit that light. So we can actually observe that and find these things that way.
Hmm. So tell us about your work. What's the direction of your specific line of investigation?
Well, those are the main things that I work on are these systems. We call them X-ray binaries because they're binaries of a black hole and a star orbiting each other. And they're emitting this X-ray radiation. So we can find them with telescopes like NASA's Chandra Space Telescope, which is an observatory up in space that is capable of detecting this X-ray radiation. And so we look at these systems. Once we found them, we can do follow-up on them. And by looking at the orbits of these two objects, well, you only see one of the objects, you can infer things about the black hole. So things like the mass of the black hole, we can get out from watching the star go around the black hole.
That's kind of exciting to have use of the Chandra Space Telescope. And maybe just to understand, what's the advantage for it instead of being here terrestrially on the ground, it being in outer space?
Yeah. So the big issue with studying this region of light is that it's very high energy and it doesn't actually make it down to the surface of the ground. So unlike optical light where we can see stars from the ground, X-rays, you have to go above our atmosphere in order to see it. It's actually a very good thing for us because X-ray radiation is very bad for us. So it's good that the atmosphere does block it. Mm. So this observatory goes above that region and then you can start to observe them.
We're speaking with Michigan State University professor Mark Peacock about black holes. He'll be talking about space tonight at Boise State at 8 o'clock in the Education Building.
Yep.
Do you have questions for us? I ask folks to tweet at us at hashtag Idaho Matters. We'd be happy to pass them along to our guests. You know, in the past, I've interviewed astronomers from the McDonnell Observatory in West Texas, and they've done some work on supermassive black holes 13 billion light years away and on black holes choking unswallowed stars. And I have to say, these are incredibly popular stories when we do them. You must find something like a rock star in science. People love hearing about space. Why is that, you think?
I think there's some amazing things out there to see. You know, these black holes are some of the most extreme objects in the universe. So it's just a very interesting topic. It has a lot of crazy physics going on. There's a lot of amazing images that come out of some of these things. Lots of mind-bending things like stars being destroyed by these black holes as they come too close to them. We actually see things like that happening. And the concept of these supermassive black holes, which are millions to billions times the mass of our sun, that are in a very, very small region, incredible objects.
Let's get more into the science. So for example, that black hole choking on a swallowed star, that event happened in 2009, and it was detected, maybe a decade later. Why is that?
Well, there's a delay from light reaching us. So light only travels at a certain speed. So it takes time to come across the universe to us to be detected. Then there's also the effect that as black holes rip things apart, that matter has to fall into the black hole. So it takes time for that gas to spiral down into the black hole and get hot enough for us to observe it and emit this great burst of radiation.
It's also interesting. People are fascinated because studying things like black holes test some foundational theories that we have, like Albert Einstein's general theory of relativity. In what way does a black hole test that theory?
They're one of the best locations to test it. And the reason is, around on Earth, we don't really need general relativity. Things aren't extreme enough that we require that those laws of physics, simple Newtonian physics, tends to work. Once you get to these extreme environments like black holes, space-time is actually getting so distorted by these very dense objects that weird things start to happen. So light starts to get bent round it, objects get bent through this space. And so in looking in these regions is where we can actually test these theories of general relativity to see if it actually holds up, if this is actually what happens when you get in these very extreme gravitational regimes.
So how does one find a black hole? I mean, I'm sure there aren't directions.
There are directions.
There are directions.
There are some ways of finding them. So these supermassive black holes that we see at the centers of galaxies, so we think most of them are at the centers of galaxies. We haven't seen any not in the centers. So those, we look for them there. Some of them emit huge amounts of X-ray radiation as gas falls into them, but not all of them do. So the one at the center of our galaxy, for example, is not emitting huge amounts of radiation. But that one's actually close enough, we can see stars orbiting it. So we see multiple stars, when you peer into the heart of our galaxy, that are orbiting this object that we can't see. There's nothing there, and yet we know there must be something that is millions of times the mass of the sun there that they're going around. And then these other stellar mass black holes, we think there's about a million or so of them in our galaxy. We've only observed about maybe 50 to 100, because we need them to be in this situation where something is falling into them, whether even orbiting another star or gas is falling into them. And so those ones we can observe with X-ray radiation as a telltale signature of them.
Well, there are millions in our galaxy, and we've only discovered that handful.
We think there's probably about a million, because these things come from the evolution of stars. So we think we have a reasonable idea of how stars evolve. So after they stop being nice stars like our sun, they start to die and they collapse in on themselves. And so we think about a million or so of them are massive enough that they would collapse into a black hole. But if they're just hanging out by themselves, they're very, very hard to see.
See, talking to you again, we're talking to Mark Peacock from Michigan State. He'll be at Boise State tonight at 8 o'clock. Talking to you makes me understand why black holes are so popular. This is fascinating. It also kind of tests some of our other foundations of how the universe began and how it might end. Am I overreaching by saying that?
They're linked to it. So the universe's end, we still don't really know exactly what's going to happen, but eventually all the stars will die off. So lots of stars will become black holes, lots of them become neutron stars. They'll all die down. And so the only things that will be left will be these black holes whizzing around in space and these old stellar remnant cores of stars. And what happens then, we don't really know. Black holes, in theory, decay themselves and start to fall apart. We think that might happen. So, yeah.
Some say the world runned in fire. Some say in ice. Perhaps it's a giant black hole. So, Mark, what universities are really standing out here? Like, what countries, what universities are Americans keeping pace with this national body of knowledge, international body of knowledge?
They are. I'd have to say Michigan State, as I'm there. We're doing some great stuff on trying to observe these black holes and trying to find them in our galaxy and in other galaxies too, trying to determine whether these populations are the same in other galaxies as we see around us in this galaxy. The US is currently leading a project called LIGO, which is to detect gravitational waves. And one of the main sources of these gravitational waves is merging black holes. So for the last couple of years, five, I think now, of these black hole mergers have been found. So these are two black holes that have spiraled into each other. And as they've distorted space-time, they've sent ripples of gravitational waves out through space. And these have recently been detected by this LIGO team, who have bases. One's in Washington, I think. The other's down south somewhere in the US. So those are big collaborations of US universities that are doing that.
Well, thank you for your work, and we look forward to your talk tonight. We've been speaking with Michigan State University professor Mark Peacock. He'll be talking about black holes tonight at Boise State at 8 p.m., and afterward, they'll be stargazing on campus through the telescopes. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Up next on the program, puppets in homegrown Idaho theater. I'm Tom Michael, and you're listening to Idaho Matters.